Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we begin our program by taking a look at the Assistive Technology Expo 2011. And we'll take a look at it. It's a showcase of possibilities for persons with disabilities. And we have a couple of people who are very much involved in the technology itself and, of course, in the expo as well. Beth Finke is with us by telephone today. She's an NPR commentator, award-winning author, teacher, journalist. She lost her sight at the age of 26. And she is the keynote speaker at the Assistive Technology Expo 2011. She lives and works in Chicago. And Beth, great to have you with us. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thanks for asking me. I'm happy to be here.
Great to have you back.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Jay Martin is with me in the studio, a professor of both mechanical and biomedical engineering at UW-Madison. He directs UW-Create, which is the Center for Rehabilitation Engineering and Assistive Technology, which engages in engineering research, design, and education to help provide additional independence to people with disabilities. He also served as the principal investigator for Midwest Alliance, a National Science Foundation project to facilitate the involvement of students with disabilities in the sciences, technology, engineering, math, that sort of thing. So, Jay Martin, great to have you with us as well.
Yeah, and I'm very happy to be here as well.
To talk about what does assistive technology mean exactly, Jay?
Beth, you know, why I get the first question, it's a hard one.
But, sorry, I'm sitting back.
So real simply, we would define it as that technology that is used by people to in assistance to be able to perform activities such as activities of daily living, things like bathing, putting on clothes, for mobility assistance, but also to help them with employment and any other thing they might want to do.
Absolutely. Well, are there, how many people in Wisconsin or maybe the U.S., do we have any numbers on this, who use assistive technology on a regular basis?
Well, census numbers say that people with that are classified as having a disability is about 1 out of 5 in the United States. So it's an extraordinarily large number of people.
That's a lot. And what types of technologies? Give us a sort of a range of technologies that are available for people with different types of disabilities.
Of course, I think the most obvious one, the one that everybody's had some experience with, are wheelchairs.
Sure.
And manual wheelchair users. And mobility is an incredibly important thing that people want. Personal mobility, but of course it goes all the way to things to assist people with visual impairment, people with hearing impairment, as you said, but also includes all sorts of activities for people with psychiatric disabilities or other types of mental impairment.
Well, Beth, you teach, you write, you moderate a blog. What technologies help you do all that you do?
Where do I start? The most, I guess the thing I use the absolute most is my computer. My computer talks. I don't talk to it, although there are some computers that you would speak to, but I learned it. Like you said, I lost my sight when I was 26, so fortunately I took typing, they called it back then, in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know the keyboard by heart. You're not supposed to look at the keyboard anyway, are you? So I type normally, but as I type, my computer calls out the letters I'm typing, and so I hear it, and I can hear if it makes mistakes. When I'm done writing something, I can manipulate the keyboard to go to the top, and it will read like this. Larry, well, it calls you Mueller. Sorry, I have to. Larry Mueller show is at 11 a.m. Please be by your phone, period. Looking forward to it, exclamation point. Yeah, so I've learned. I often say I should be writing. I don't write science fiction, but I should because it all sounds like that when I listen to it. But that's what really helps me with emails. That's what I use my talking computer to blog and to write books. I have an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And I am crawling up the learning curve to learn. I've had it a few months now, so I'm busy pounding on the screen and making it do things. So I use that when I'm traveling to get around, and eventually I hope to use that to do email. I have a guide dog, so that's not a piece of assistive technology, but that's something I'm going to talk about. My keynote is on Thursday, and Jay has been kind enough to give me a topic I've never spoken on before, and it's what if. I mean, I do very well day to day. I live a pretty interesting and fun life, and usually I'm not a person that thinks in terms of what if, because to me it's kind of, it's depressing. I mean, oh boy, if only this and this and this and this, and I use the technology I have and the talents I have to get on day to day, but this one's stretching me a little bit, and so I'm going to talk on Thursday about, I've got a guide dog, but what if there was some kind of way I could get around easier? I don't know. So, you'll have to come Thursday.
I guess I will.
Yeah.
I guess I will. And we should go. Actually, Jay, why don't you give sort of the specifics of the expo so people know. Let's get that out of the way here.
So the expo is has been an annual event, and it's occurring this Thursday on the engineering campus.
At the UW-Madison.
At UW-Madison. It takes place in the in two buildings, the mechanical engineering building, and then, which is 1513 University Avenue, and then in the atrium of the Engineering Centers building, which is the next building to the west of mechanical engineering. We needed both of those spaces because of the number of exhibitors we have. We have at least 40 exhibitors this year in a wide range of different assistive technologies. The expo itself goes from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. And in addition to the exhibitors, we do have what we call our sort of technical presentations that are occurring simultaneously with the exhibits. And we're lucky enough to have Beth be the keynote presenter this year. And she will be talking at noon as part of... this is a somewhat unusual marriage that we got going here, and that is she's talking to the mechanical engineering graduate students in addition to the public that's interested in what Beth's going to talk about. So I have really given her a challenge.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm up to it.
I know.
That's why you got it.
Well, Larry, you know, we met via this show last year.
Yes, it's Larry. You brought us together. Thank you. Or I might be cursing you Thursday.
Oh, well, it sounds like is there a cost? People?
No, it's free, and we'd like as many people as possible to participate. Last year we had about 600 people. And again, the goal of this is we have several objectives. One of them is to try to give people a sense of where technology is, what's the state of technology and assistive technologies. But we're also bringing in people that are thinking about the future. And we're also trying to learn more about where we should go. And that's in part what Beth's going to help us with. So.
Very, very cool. We have callers online. By the way, if you'd like to join in, have a question or comment for our guest today, do you or someone close to you use assistive technology? What has it meant for you? What's it meant for your life or your family member's life? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. You can post there. We have Debbie from Withy, Wisconsin, online. Debbie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I'm calling on behalf of my mom. She is 94 and in very good health. The only problem is her hearing is not what it used to be. And her only concern is I'm wondering if there's something that she could use when she watches TV. If she turns it up loud enough to hear, then the sound is very distorted. Are there some kind of headphones, and she does not wear a hearing aid. So is there some kind of headphones or other hearing device that she could just put on and plug into the back of the TV to help her hear?
Actually, there's some electronic. She wouldn't have to plug it in, would she, Jay?
No, I think she could. There are definitely wireless headphones that she could use. I'm interested. Does she have trouble hearing in ordinary conversation?
If you're speaking right to her, and if you speak just a little bit louder than normal, then she's fine. In the higher ranges, like children, with their voices or women's voices, if they're soft, that she has difficulty with.
And is there a reason why she doesn't use hearing aids?
Pride and frugality.
Pride and frugality. Okay.
You know, I can't address the frugality issue, but about the pride issue, there are some advanced hearing aids that, frankly, you can't see. The little electronics reside behind the ear, and there's just a little tube that leads into the ear, and they make an extraordinary difference for people that use them. The other thing is that there is support available to get hearing aids if you really need them. So, you know, of course, we know many, many people that use them, and they do have an enormous impact on participation. And so I can tell you, when I need them, I'm going to get them.
Like, where would she go? I mean, where would she start in looking for one that would fit her needs?
You know, what I'm going to ask you to do is to email me. We did this after the show last year, mm-hmm. and I will give you some links that you can follow through on. You know, there's both an issue about learning maybe a little bit about the technology, but also give you some links on some people who this is what they do, and they will provide you with info.
What's your email address?
It's Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, @engr.wisc.edu.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of lost it after the D-N-G-R.
Oh, that's E. E as in echo.
It's always
okay. E as in engineer, E-N-G-R.
Oh, okay.
.wisc as in Wisconsin.
Okay.
.edu.
You. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Debbie, for calling. Appreciate your call. We had an email from Victoria from Rome, Wisconsin. I'm currently a college student studying computer programming at a local tech college. Over the summer, I started tutoring a legally blind gentleman on basic computer skills. I found the experience very rewarding and was wondering if the guest today had any advice or suggestions on careers in assistive technology, specifically those that require working one-on-one with individuals with disabilities. Also, what educational background is required for this type of work? Beth, you want
to... I'll take the personal aspect. I think Jay knows a lot more about how to get, you know, where to get the education. But Victoria, if you're listening, God love you. You know, those of us who are blind really need many more people like you who really know technology but have an interest in the screen readers that we use. They're a little bit I am very, very fortunate that my husband is interested in computers and he can see, because even though the computers are terrific, but every once in a while they'll crash or something goes wrong where there's something on the screen and we can't see it, and so I have him living with me. I have a live-in help. Mm-hmm. But many of us are not that fortunate, and we have to rely on organizations that have computer technology people there to help. And I've been taught over and over, everybody who uses computers knows how much it changes all the time and how much we curse every time we finally have learned it. And then, so imagine if you can't see the screen and then you have to adjust the screen reader to, you know, they just changed Facebook, didn't they? I don't know, whatever. It just changed this week. And you tend to want to give up, and we really need really encouraging people like Victoria to keep us up.
Jay, what about the education side?
I think, once again, please email to me, and I hope you got my email, but maybe we can figure out some other way to provide it online or something. But There are a variety of different paths that you could pursue. For example, educational degrees in physical therapy or occupational therapy would lead you towards potentially working one-on-one with individuals with disabilities. And then there's the other way you could approach it, which is from the assistive technology side. There is an organization called RESNA that stands for the Rehab Engineering Society of North America, and they provide training for individuals that are going to be specialists in AT. And so that's another possibility. And you don't need a technical background in order to get the training from the Rehab Engineering Society of North America. And the other thing I'd say is that I'll echo what Beth said. Please join us. You'll find out what an incredibly rewarding and important career that is.
And if I can butt in one more time, it's also really, maybe I'm generally, but I have met so many interesting and fun people that get into this. It's people who that enjoy being with other people, and there's the rewarding thing, but it's an interesting career that's constantly changing. It's not boring. It's constantly changing and getting finer tuned, and it's a great group of people that I've been able to work with. So,
well, I would think the Assistive Technology Expo 2011 would probably be a pretty good place for Victoria to attend.
Absolutely. Thank you for reminding me of that.
So that's this Thursday, and we've posted a link on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, where you can find out more about the expo itself and all the details, and when Beth's speaking at noon on Thursday, but all of the other things that are going on during the day. I mean, there's a whole lot going on, and really would welcome. I'm sure Jay and Beth would love to meet you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So can I put in another plug here? Is if you want additional information about the expo, we have a website.
Mm-hmm.
It is www.wiatexpo.org.
And we have that linked on our...
Oh, it's already there. Okay,
we have it linked on my Facebook page.
Great, great. And we have a Facebook link on that as well. So
so there you go. Thank you very much for that email. Appreciate it very much. Our guest today, Beth Finke, NPR commentator, award-winning author, teacher, and journalist, lost her sight at the age of 26. Keynote speaker at the Assistive Technology Expo 2011. She lives and works in Chicago. Jay Martin with me in the studio, professor of both mechanical and biomedical engineering, and he directs UW Create, Center for Rehabilitation Engineering and Assistive Technology. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back with our guest today, Beth Finke and Jay Martin. Larry Mueller here. Thank you for listening in. All our lines are filled. Let's go to the phones and to Elizabeth in Sister Bay. Elizabeth, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you. I am wondering where the line in the sand is between assistive and medical. They're so merged. My question is about whether something interesting to me might be a part of this particular event, which is for diabetics who are insulin dependent. We're getting really close to that moment when we have an external, essentially an external artificial pancreas, because we're right about there where we've got the continuous glucose monitor and the continuous pump, and it looks like we've got them maybe talking to each other. I'm wondering if you will be dealing with that kind of a tool there, or is that kind of outside of the zone?
Yeah, this is Jay. That turns out to be a little bit outside the zone here. Of course, it's incredibly important. It's just when we talk about...
On the other side of the line.
Yeah, kind of on the other side, unfortunately.
But, Elizabeth, this is Beth. I have type 1 diabetes, and so I'm interested in what you're talking about. But what assistive technology would do, what it does for me, is I have a glucose monitor that talks. So when I can test my own blood and keep myself in good health with that, and that's assistive technology. Does that make sense?
Got it.
Yeah, so it'll call out, you know, hopefully, 112 when I test my blood sugar, or, you know, like that. And not 342. Ketones?
Yeah. Perfect. And hopefully it won't yell at you too much.
It doesn't bark at me.
Thank you very much for calling, Elizabeth. Appreciate your call. Georgianne and Madison, we turn to you now. Hi, Georgianne.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am interested in knowing more information about shopping aids, grocery shopping in particular is what I have in mind, something that would be able to scan UPC codes or give nutritional information on canned items.
For
packaged items.
For someone blind, sure.
Yes, for someone with sight problems. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, Beth, let me turn to you first.
All right. I don't use this, but I have heard of there's something exists already that does the barcodes, and it's a pen, and you rub it against the barcode. I haven't used it. It's a little tricky. I'm wondering, how do you find the barcode?
Yeah.
But I haven't tried it. I have a feel. I was just going over the exhibitors before the phone call, and there's so many from different. They're from all walks of life, physical disabilities, but there are a lot for visual impairments. So that would be. And what's the nutrition code? To get nutrition, I often go on go to the website of the thing I bought. And find the nutrition labels through that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just making this up, Nabisco crackers or something. Then I go to Nabisco and try if it's important that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It's one of the few. There's so many things I'm able to do on my own, but grocery shopping, I still have an assistant help me with that.
Mm-hmm.
I have mixed feelings. I'd love to be able to do everything by myself, but in a funny way, everybody's different. I kind of like it going with somebody else.
Yeah. I had looked at this some time ago, many months ago, maybe over a year ago, and I did find information, I think, about a Scandinavian company that has progressed on this. And admittedly, I haven't looked at it recently to see if we've come along in this regard. But from your response, I don't think we have. And I think I did see that pen that you mentioned. But it would just seem to me, I know that there's a lot of UPC scanner companies out there that would be able to hook something together with grocery chains and also with the nutritional labeling information. So maybe all you smart people at UW can.
I was at the expo last year and sat in a session where they were explaining almost like a cell phone. And you could point it at something and take a picture of it and it'll read. You know, like I'm imagining, you could scan a package using your cell phone, take the picture, and then the picture says, you know, carbohydrates 4, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
Jay?
Let me just jump in here. It turns out that at the expo, we will be having a talk on iPad and iPhone and Android device applications. And the reason this was of interest is because it turns out that those devices are all capable of doing barcode scanning.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll provide you, for example, here's how sophisticated it's gotten now. If you want to compare prices at different vendors of the same product, you scan in the product and it will tell you, oh, yeah, at Target you can save $10, which is kind of a nice little thing to have. I think Beth said it well. Actually, being able to get the barcode off of the package is probably something of a challenge if you can't see it.
Oh, well, something tactile, I'm sure, could be worked out, you know, in that regard.
Well, it's amazing what goes on now. I mean, I have an iPhone. I can take a picture with this app. I can take a picture of a fish, and the iPhone processes the information and comes back with the name of the fish and information about the fish.
And then now, you know, as I say, I'm crawling up that learning curve. I'm taking a bus up to Madison, so then I'll have three. I need to be forced to just sit with this phone and play with it, literally. But so imagine if I did that and it said the name of the fish, my phone would say it out loud. Yeah. I might not know even what I'm pointing it at, and dirty shoe. I don't know. But there's a lot of stuff it can do. I have a money identifier, so I can put the phone over a bill and press a button, and it says $5 or $10 because it identifies it that way.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, good.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Georgia. And I hope you have a chance to stop. Go online, take a look. Go to my Facebook page and find the you can find the information, or you can phone and find information about the Assistive Expo, Assistive Technology Expo, on Thursday. And you may well want to get over there and listen in on that presentation.
Yes, yeah, that one's at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, okay. Thanks again. Diana in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Diana.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling because my son is actually in college and he has learning disabilities, and we're trying to find more user-friendly devices. And I was wondering if your guest knew any particular information on things like smart pens and how iPhones might be used, or Kurzweiler machines or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Jay, let's turn to you. I'm not sure that you've been involved with this type of disability, but I know you have been very active on campus of getting people with disabilities involved as students and thriving on campus.
Yeah, so this is of course an enormously important issue. The first thing I would say is that please make sure that your son is working with the Campus Disability Service office on the Madison campus. That's the McBurney Center. But every campus in the United States has some representative that is designated to assist individuals with disabilities, students with disabilities, in having equal opportunity on that campus. And so please start there. But there are a bunch of ideas that are assisting individuals with learning disabilities in being successful on campus. And, for example, suppose a student has a problem with reading. A very common method to try to assist the student is to use the screen readers and have whatever text the student is supposed to be studying actually read aloud to the student via the screen readers, and that's proven to be, has turned out to be effective for a lot of students. So that's just one example.
There you go. Thank you very much for that call. Saul in Stevens Point, on to you now. Hi, Saul.
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
My mom has pretty far advanced macular degeneration. She's really an active emailer, and I was going to try to find a large character keyboard that she could see better. She needed a strong light on it. And my sister came up with the idea of an iPad, and I was kind of leery about it, but it's been fantastic. So she can get any email, blow it up very easily, and it also has a backlit keypad, when you have to type something, and she can see it. And I'm just amazed at how well she's adapted to it. So she is doing all her emailing and Skyping and everything with her iPad.
Oh, that's...
As if they need a plug.
As if they need a plug, but that's okay. Comment.
We think the Apple products are amazing from a design point of view. The biggest issue from my perspective is about people that are blind, and it's interesting for me to hear that Beth has an iPhone and she's working her way through it. So. Maybe there is a lot of possibility for people that are blind there, but obviously for so many applications, these new devices are quite remarkable.
Well, and I'm beaming. It's wonderful. It's not quite universal design, but it's so cool that your mom is using an iPad, that you use an iPad. Other people use an iPad too, and so we're all kind of in the same boat. I don't have a huge concern, but I hope that Apple and other companies continue to have somebody in support. We're a minority, so they do now. So if I call and I have a problem, they can help. Somebody can help me through it with my outspoken, I forget what it's called, to make it talk. But I hope that continues to be the case and that this isn't just something that they're doing for PR to help those of us. But it's a pretty cool thing that my iPhone looks just like everybody else's.
And, you know, sometimes there are problems with the electronics and our system. Our phone system crashed. We still have you, Beth. But we don't have our other callers. We lost our callers. But that's okay. We'll get them back. Judith's working on it right now. We'll get that system up. We have we had someone from Muskego who would like both Jay and Beth's opinions on top types of talking computer programs. The person mentioned Windows I and also JAWS. And Beth, any experience with Windows I or JAWS?
Yes, with both of them, and they're both good. So it's kind of a different stroke. JAWS, I think, probably has more of the market than Windows I, but both of them appeal to people for different reasons. And then I have a number of friends. I went to train with a new seeing eye dog in December, and everyone in the class who was under 35 were using Macs. And so they were using Macs with the voice that the Mac comes with and were bragging about that. So I would, all of them, all the ones I've ever tried, have a way that you can go to the website and try it out. Sometimes they have them, you can try it out for 30 days. Sometimes, you know, I would do that and just goof around with it, just like an average person would with any computer program or any computer, and see which one, you know, those of us who are blind are as different from each other as average people are. Sure. So just give them a try.
Yeah, absolutely. And some more callers online. We've got our system back up again.
All right.
Good
Yay,
for you, Judith.
Yes.
Thank you, thank you. We got David Appleton. Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to mention that there is a beautiful facility. It's off of Mason Street in Green Bay. And they have all kinds of technology for people with disabilities. They have a kitchen with cabinets that go up and down and just all kind of technology there at this home that's set up. And so much furniture and whatnot is available for people with aches and pains and disabilities as well, lift chairs and that type of thing.
And Jay, are you familiar with that particular?
You know, that one I haven't heard of.
It's beautifully set up. It's got, I mean, ramps for easy access and a bathroom which is set up with, you know, a tub with lifts and all kinds of technology. I happen to be in the lift chair end of things. That's how I happen to even be invited to this particular facility, but it's beautiful and it's opened and operated by people with some disability.
Oh, and what's the name of it again?
I'm afraid I don't know the name of it. I do know that it's off of Mason Street and it's on the west end, west of 41.
We'll see if we can locate it and put it up on our Facebook page.
It's a beautiful facility, a wonderful visit, and absolutely enlightening. It was for me. The kitchen with the cabinets that went up and down, and the stoves that talk to you. You know, for those have lost their sight, you know, they push a button and it set it at 325. It says 325, just like the lady's computer spoke with her. This stove speaks with them. Wonderful.
It sounds like it'd be a fun place to bring kids. I have, one of my books is a children's book, and I've been going to a lot of schools and libraries to talk to kids, and it is really great. I do it because I enjoy it, but it's, I think my being there, I'm doing my part to make children grow up into adults who are not so afraid of people with disabilities.
Yeah.
And something like what the caller just talked about, I think that would be like James Bond or something. It would be very cool. It sounds like a museum, sort of. I assume it's a store, but I don't know.
Well, it sounds like it's a house.
I guess it's a sales facility. Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got it.
A lot of different vendors there, obviously, contractors and whatnot that are available to build and set up this technology for people.
Looks like Judith's finding it. She says on the web, it looks like it's options in community living, and it's a demo place. So
and now I'll plug the expo on Thursday.
Yes.
The exhibition hall is like that. I was there last year, and you walk through from a lot of the exhibitors bring stuff that you can try. You know, whether you could try a talking computer, even if you can see. You know, just goof around with the stuff. You know, if you know. They're there to help you if you start breaking it. I don't think, you know. Jay, wasn't there a car? There was something huge. I can't remember. A lift? What?
Oh, yeah. There was one of the accessible RVs.
That was it, yeah. So it was just a lot of fun. I don't know.
There's another smart house in Wausau located on, I think it's UW Marathon County.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the campus there. I think that's right. Again, remarkable place with all sorts of different technologies under one roof. And so it's really neat. We have at least those two activities in Wisconsin. Again, we'll put some links to these places on our site.
Yeah, we already, Judas already linked the on Facebook under the status bar, the options in community living in Green Bay. So we've got that up. If people want to take a look at that, that's great. We had an email from Betsy with Adaptive Technology Resources, Inc. in Grafton, and she says there's a product called the ID Mate that will scan and read barcodes of over 400,000 products in it. Also, the KNFB reader will scan documents and barcodes in it. And she says the iPads and the iPhones are also a great product. So there are some things out there. Well, here we are. Boy, running out of time. So the Assistive Technology Expo 2011, your chance to see a lot of different things, to experience a lot of different things in the assistive technology field. And it's this Thursday on the UW-Madison College of Engineering campus, and is there going to be parking, Jay?
Parking for people that really need it.
Mm-hmm.
Come in and ask us for a parking permit, and we will give you one.
Mm-hmm. All right, Beth, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Look forward to your presentation on Thursday.
Thanks. Looking forward to it myself, the whole thing.
Beth Finke is an NPR commentator, award-winning author, teacher, and journalist, and she is the keynote speaker at the Assistive Technology Expo 2011. Topic is what if? It's a big topic. Big topic. Jay Martin gave it to her. He's professor of both the mechanical and biomedical engineering at UW-Madison. It's great to have them along. And again, take a look at this. Go to my website. You can find out more about the 2011 Assistive Technology Expo. And I expect Beth and Jay will be back with us on another occasion. Thank you both again very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, we're going to take a look at weather. It's got to be the last Monday of the month because our weather guys, Steve Ackerman, John Martin, joining us next here on the Ideas Network.